Really? Come on, you are a child of God. And what he has said about you is true. It may not always feel like it's true. It may not always seem like it's true. But it's true. It's true. And we're going to see a little bit about that this morning. But turn your Bibles, if you've got one, or flick on your phone or whatever, to Genesis chapter 32. You know, it used to be, when we came to church, we had our Bible. Remember how proud we were of the covers, right? And then a notebook that went along with it with a pen, right? And way back in the day, before we even knew it, people brought tape recorders so that they could capture the lesson, right? I mean, it's so hungry for the Word. I want to just declare that we live in the United States of America. Exactly, one nation under God. The United States of America. I know that out there on Facebook and all different places, there's all kinds of... I just encourage you not to get involved with that. Don't comment, don't like, don't any of that. You just declare whenever you see that, this, because I believe God is moving right now. I believe God is restoring right now. And I believe that God is going to make a way where the United part of the United States is coming back in Jesus' name. You say, man, that looks like a long way off. I have a God who brings a long way off things really close. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to lead up a little bit to Genesis chapter 22. We're talking about Jacob this morning. Everybody say Jacob. Jacob was just a saintly guy that never had any trouble or never did anything wrong, right? Does anybody remember Jacob? Jacob was a little bit of a scoundrel. Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was a manipulator. Jacob was a schemer. Some of us might have some of his characteristics. And some of the reasons that we have those characteristics are because they work sometimes. Did you know you can manipulate people? Right? You can do different things, but over the long term, that's not going to hold out. Right? And even Christians who say, you know, God has called me, so I need to promote myself, fall into the camp of Jacob. Listen, his mom was a great help, great inspiration to him. She said, listen, go get... kill a goat, I forget what it was, but and put the fur on your, so that when you go into your dad, he'll feel you, because he was, at that age, he wasn't seeing too well, he'll feel your arms and think that you're Esau, the older brother. And you go in there, and then he will pronounce the blessing on you. Now this is really important, we don't think about it that much anymore, but the father's blessing means a great deal. Even in our time, if we'd learned to pronounce it. But anyway, so he did that, and he got not only Esau's birthright, but he got the blessing of the father, right? And so what happened was, it kind of upset Esau a little bit. You think? When Esau found out that this conniving little brother, they were twins, but the conniving little one, watch this, this conniving little one stole my blessing. So when all this happened, and even though and Isaac couldn't take the blessing back once he gave it, right? And so Esau said, man, I'm going to get him. I'm going after him. I'm going to get him. And so what this brave young man named Jacob did is he ran. Well, he ran, and it was to get away from Esau, but it was also to find a wife. But watch this. What you sow, you will reap. Because he went down, he said, listen, he found the wife, man. He found the wife. I found me a wife. He went to the father and said, listen, I want your daughter. He said, that'll be great. Work for me for 7 years, you can have my daughter. Right? So, cool. It's worth that to me. So he did it. And then at the end of 7 years, he was going to get married. And those days, they put veils on the faces. Got married and then took the veil off, and it wasn't the one he wanted. He reaped what he sowed. Right? Right? But then what, as time went, he got the wife that he wanted. And then God gave him a bunch of land, and, I mean sheep and cattle, and he was a very wealthy man coming out of his sojourn. But God said, I've called you, and you're going to lead my people, and I need you to go back home. And that's where we're picking up the story. I need you to go back home. And listen to the first verse, because this is really important. He said, so Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met with him. What's 32? Genesis 32, verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angel of God met him. And Jacob saw them and said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, or however you say it. Okay. Hebrew is not my first language. But what that means is the place of two, or two camps. And I believe what he's speaking of is the camp before and the camp now. Before I left, I was one way, but when I'm coming back, I'm a different way. God has used this experience to bring me back to where I need to be. But watch this. In his coming back, in his obedience, he was still very afraid of his brother. Because his brother was mighty. And even though God said, you're going to go and I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you, Jacob's personality still comes out. As we'll go on, you'll see. Verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and have stayed away there until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. He was trying, even now, to manipulate Esau. Esau, I don't want you to hurt me. Right? He's coming to this place. Now, see, he wasn't seeing himself through the word spoken to him by God. He wasn't even seeing himself as the man who was visited by angels. He was seeing himself as belonging to the old man instead of the new man. And I think most of us have an opportunity where we switch between the old man and the new man when God says to put off the old man and to put on the new man. Now watch this. And it's not a new man because I say it's a new man. It's a new man because he said I'm a new man. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And another verse that you know very well, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that he forgives all of our iniquities, right? Watch what. Well, just turn there because I'm messing it up. 1 John 1:9. Hallelujah. You've got to take this for yourself. You have to apply this for yourself. You have to say, this is true of me. It says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he says we're clean, then what are we? But yet we walk around with the attitude of being unclean. See, it's not about you. None of you can get clean on your own, but the blood has made you clean. And so you have to see yourself as he sees you instead of how you view yourself through your past. Which camp are you going to fall into? Are you going to fall into the old man or the new man? Now, I want to tell you that for the body of Christ to function, and when I say that, I'm talking about you and me. In order for us to function with the full potential that we have to see ourselves coming out of our past and into our future. We have to see ourselves as God sees us and then begin to operate out of that place rather than the place where we've been. So I'm going to just kind of go through the story a little bit. So he goes through this trying to manipulate Esau, and finally when Esau gets together with him, he said, my brother. And he said, man, I don't want your presence. I want your presence. And that was all done by a move of the Spirit of God. And it was actually, he didn't have to manipulate in the first place. And even his mother, who got a word that the second one would rule over the first one, even when they were born, right? She didn't have to say, well, I've got to make this happen. She just needed to listen to the word and act according to the word. Which camp are you going to be of? Are you going to be of the manipulating, trying to control, make it happen on your own camp? Or are you going to come under the word of God and say, God, you said it, so therefore I'm going to act on it. Now, why is this important? It's so important because of this fact. God needs you in the position of authority. God needs you in your position of authority. Go to quickly to Isaiah chapter 14. You may have fallen off of your position of authority, or you may be acting by the circumstances that you find yourself in. Right? Some of us have known our place of authority and we were acting on it, but because it didn't happen in our timing, we fell off of it and went back to the old way. Look at verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land, that strangers will be joined with them and they will cling to the house of Jacob. See, God's plan and his covenant does not change. We're going to have the covenant meal here in a little bit. But when Jesus gave us the covenant meal, he said, do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Remember what I did. Remember what I've accomplished. Remember what I said. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been given authority by the head of the church. You've been given power, delegated authority, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, right? Not because you're all of that, but because you're in Him. He is all that, but watch this. As He is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? That means when I pray and I use His name, it's exactly as if He'd used the name for Himself. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. But it's imperative today that we stand up in our place. Some of us have lived more years than we're going to live. I'm not looking at anybody, right? But watch this. We don't give up, and we can't quit, and we can't stop living out of our place of authority. But we have to go back to the promise that God has made in us. Go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. Mighty man of God, mighty woman of God. Come on. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How many feel weak this morning? Come on. How many feel weak this morning? How many have been through it this week? How many feel like, man, I've just been, you know, jumped on, tugged at? Well, the Bible says that you're strong. The Bible said, and Paul said this, he said, man, he said, the grace of God is sufficient for me. He said, man, I glory in my infirmities. Why? Because when I'm weak, He's strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Why do I need you to be strong in the Lord? Look at Ezekiel chapter 13. Now I've got to find it. Verse 1, let's just go. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Come on. You got to quit listening to people who are telling you something different than what God has told you. If God said you can, you can. If God has called you holy, then you're holy. If God has called you righteous, then you're righteous. Yeah, but I didn't act very righteously yesterday. Did you ask for forgiveness? Then you're clean. And you need to be clean so you can stand up in who you are. Come on. Let's skip down to verse 5. It says, have you not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord? Some of us used to pray from a position of authority, standing in the gap against some of the things that were happening in the earth, but also in the lives of people that we love and know. Did you know that everybody that you know is your assignment? And you're to pray for them? That you're to stand in the gap for them? What does that mean? Heaven's up here, they're down here, and I'm in the middle. Why? Because I'm a child of God filled with the Spirit of God who has authority by the Word of God to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And so I'm going to be on assignment and I'm not coming off Some of us have come off. Some of us have stepped back. Some of us said it didn't work. Be careful to say what is working and what is not working. And begin to declare who you are. And look at, I'm not saying I'm a man of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of the King, all of that, so that I can say, look at me. I'm saying that so that I can stand against the enemy and know that I'm not standing alone, because every statement that I've just made is not because of what I've done, it's because of what He's done in me. And now wants to do through me. Come on. We're running a little late this morning, but I don't care. Did you know, and I could go into this for 3 or 4 weeks, and maybe at some point I will. But did you know that when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He gave them authority to rule on the earth. He said, you shall have dominion over the earth. Right? But then comes Slewfoot, Satan in the form of a snake. But he must have been a beautiful creature at that point. Because he said, has God really said? Has God really said? And he said, well, he might have said that, but he only said that because he doesn't want you to eat it, because if you eat it, then you'll be like him and you won't have to look up to him anymore. And the minute that they ate it, they said, here's my authority. I'm giving it to you because you've deceived me. Now watch this. There's something about God's delegated authority that says, I need a man to take a legal stand on the earth so that I can have a conduit from heaven to earth. That's why Jesus had to come and be born of a woman. Because he needed to have legal authority on the earth to be able to do what he did. That's why he became flesh and bone. Come on, and blood, because that is who has legal authority. Are you flesh? Are you bone? I mean, are you a human being? Then you have a right to be on earth. And the authority that was lost when Satan made Adam and Eve stumble has been regained through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we now stand in that authority so that even demons are subject unto us. But are you standing in the gap for somebody? Or are you just allowing life to happen to them? Some of us who are spirit-filled used to spend hours praying and interceding for people that we love. Hours. But yet life happens, stuff happens, and we quit standing in the gap. And God is speaking to us this morning, speaking to me. See, here's the deal. When I come with a message that seems a little strong, He's been working on me all week on it, right? So you're just getting the overflow of what He's speaking to me, but He's speaking to us as a church, as Christians, as individuals, as mothers, as fathers, come on, as brothers, as sisters, and friends. We've got to get back on our knees or back in the presence of God for our friends, for our loved ones, for those that are dying and going to hell, for the prodigals to come back. Right? We need to believe and stand in the gap and say, smile at them when they're acting all naughty. When they're living below their stature and say, oh, bless your darling heart, you just don't know yet. Watch this. Jacob, you ran from Esau, but you're coming back. you're coming back because you're going to fulfill the destiny that God put in you that he's spoken to me about. Hallelujah. But we must come to the place where we're standing up in the authority that he's put in us. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. When I first got saved and had been saved probably a year, everybody was preaching on the armor of God. Man, we had armor conferences. I remember one conference, man, we all got fatigues, right? Because we're in the army of God, we're on fatigues, and I understand the symbology, and there was nothing really wrong with that. But watch this. This isn't a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. It's a position that we need to know that we're in, right? We have an enemy. Really, we have an enemy, right? Well, what can the enemy do to us? Nothing we don't allow him to do, right? Not that we don't allow him to do, but watch this. On the other hand, it's kind of like, can he take away my salvation? Can he pull me to hell? Why? Because the blood has already purchased me to heaven, right? So bring your best shot, Jack. What are you going to do, kill me? Do you know your best day is going to be your last breath on earth? Amen. Come on, I mean, glory to God. All the shame, all the guilt will be gone. All the pain will be gone. Forever. All right, go to we're going to start in verse 10. After everything that he's talked about in the book of Ephesians, and he's talked about you being redeemed, he's talked about you, you know, being accepted, he's talked about you being beloved, he's talked about you in so many ways that are great, that are awesome. But he said, finally, all of this has happened, but finally, the grace of God has been poured out upon you. You've been saved by grace, right? But finally, be strong in your own ability. Be strong in doing the best you can do. Be strong in how good of a Christian you are. I have to laugh too, Marilyn. No, it says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's kind of an interest in the power of his might. Aren't might and power the same thing? No. No. Power has to do with ruling authority. Might has to do with the carrying out of that authority upon an enemy. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Glory to God. Glory to God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now look at, do we need to do this for ourselves? Sure. But this morning I'm talking about you standing up as a child of God, as a warrior for Jesus, to stand in the gap for the people that are out there, rather than looking at people and go, oh, look at him. He's a trans. I mean, today there's I don't know, there's 152 genders and it's still going. Right? It's gone crazy, right? But rather than attacking that, why not start standing in the gap for those that are trapped by the lies? Stand strong, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Glory to God. Not just for myself, but for those that God has put me in assignment over. What am I saying? Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. verse 13 says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. How long do you stand therefore? Come on, forever and ever. Forever and ever. And ever and ever. Part of the training in boot camp, now I never went to boot camp, I was never in the service, but I've heard enough stories, is they put you on guard duty in the middle of the night after you've worked all day. And you better not fall asleep. You better stand guard. Because if you don't, you're in huge trouble. Why? Because it's your job to defend against those that would come and try to do a sneak attack. What am I telling you? Get back on your post. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Get your list back out, that list that you put away 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Put on the armor of God and begin to stand and say, God, I will not leave my post, and I'm standing between heaven and earth, between my children and what you've got for them. God, for my neighbor, what you've got for them, for those that are confused in Washington and what you got for them, God. I'm no longer going to get wrapped up into the political looking at here and now. God, I'm looking at myself through your eyes, and Lord, I'm going to be the one who stands in the gap. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. There's a basket in the back, and I don't know what happened to all the names, but Bonnie brought it years ago, and it was all of those that had once been here. Talking about younger folks who aren't that young anymore. Sorry, Anita. They're not that young. I'm just teasing. Not that young anymore, right? But that we're in youth group, or we're in church, or we're in children's church, and they're just out doing crazy things and all involved with stuff that you just wouldn't even imagine, right? And it's like, no. We're claiming them for the kingdom of God. And the word that was put into them will not return void, but it'll come back and accomplish that which God set it forth to accomplish. But we have to see ourselves as strong in the Lord. I have a right to pray. And when I pray and intercede, I'm doing something in the Spirit. Whether I can see the results or not, it's working. Come on, it's working. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I don't care if this one falls by the left and on the right. I'm standing my ground in Jesus' name. And I refuse to back off of my post. No matter what happens to me, no matter what life throws at me, God, you can use me to touch one person. Come on, just one person to deliver them from the kingdom of dark. Do you understand that we're talking about eternity here? We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about people spending eternity outside of the presence of God in turmoil and torment. And then we're talking about people who come to know Jesus, come on, and live for Him and go to be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know, I know that the Bible says in heaven there's no more torment, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering. But there's some things that I just can't grab a hold of fully. How somebody that I love and know, and they're in hell and I'm in heaven, and I know it. Let me just tell you the story. Years ago, my aunt had cancer, and she was, you know, we knew she was dying. There was no doubt about it. So there was a day, it was like a Thursday night. I'd worked a bunch of work all week. She was in the hospital. She was going to go home Saturday. And I thought, you know, I need to go to the hospital tonight. I thought, I'm tired. And my intention was the next time I saw her to make sure that I preached the gospel to her. I'm tired. I'm just tired, God. Listen, she's going to be at home. It'll be much more comfortable. I'll go see her Saturday. She died Friday morning. See, this is not, I want to go visit to visit. This is, I'm a child of the God and I stand between heaven and earth. Right? Are you getting what I'm saying? This might seem somber, but it's also a place of encouragement, a place of get the battle armor back on. Begin to fight the fight. Begin to look at those that are lost, not as your enemy, but those that are trapped by your enemy. Is this making sense to anybody? Yeah. Come on. Look at verse 18. It says, praying always. You got the armor on. All of the armor is for prayer. All of the armor is for prayer. You know, I got the belt of truth. I got the sword of the Spirit. I've got the helmet of salvation. I got the breastplate of righteousness. It's all so that you can stand in the place of prayer. Whew. Come on. Are you going to stand in the place of the old man, or are you going to stand in your position as the new man and begin to fight for your family? Begin to fight for your nation. My God, we live in Western Washington, the land of kooks. Right? But are you looking at them as unredeemable? Or are you looking at them as, God, you placed me here. This is my land, and I'm going to take it for Jesus. I'm praying, God, for the revivals that have been promised years and years ago. And Lord, whether I don't care if I see it or not right now, Lord, I'm declaring what you said. Praying, always praying, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with perseverance and supplications. Come on. For all the saints. Rather than talking about the one who's gone astray, why don't we pray for them? Rather than getting on, did you hear about? That should be a buzzword to us. And say, oh, stop right now. Stop. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Our assignment is prayer. And it's not just, oh God, bless me and my four no more. Or God, if it be thy will, save such and such. It's his will to save all. And I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to pray that the eyes of the blind would be open so that they can see and hear the truth. I'm not saying that we can pray their will away, but we can pray their blindness away so that they can make a choice. Are you with me? Come on, you're powerful in the Spirit, more powerful than you know. I don't care if you got saved last week or 2 weeks ago or a month ago, or 40 years ago, you are in Christ. And he's given you authority to stand in the gap. It's time for us to stand. Amen? It's time for you to stand. It's time for me to stand. Amen, amen. It's time. It's time. See, he's saying, I'm standing. I'm going to do this. This is something that's speaking to my heart, and it's changing me right now. I'm going to make a stand for Jesus, and I'm going to take my place once again. And I'm not going to be defeated, and I refuse to quit. For God is with me, and if God is with me, he can use me when I'm on my knees or I'm laying in bed or I'm sitting in my recliner and I'm communing with Him. Lord, I'm going to bring people before You. I'm going to bring those that You've placed in my life before You, God, and I'm going to wrestle against the enemy stronghold in their life, and I'm going to see the lost saved. I'm going to see the defeated brought to victory. I'm going to see those that are lame healed. I'm going to see, God, because You put me in that place. And I pray, God, that with all boldness I might proclaim Your gospel, the good news, to those who are lost. In Jesus' name. That's my desire. That's my plan. That's my plea, God. Whew. In Jesus' name, amen. You're more powerful than you know. I said you're more powerful than you know. If I could have somebody bring the kids up and maybe text Donnie or whatever for them to come over. Hallelujah. Come on. This, you know, we're dead men walking. Did you know that? Galatians 2:20 says this, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? I'm dead in Him. Nevertheless, I live. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still here. Yet not I. Come on. But Christ that lives in me. It's time for us to get our eyes off of ourselves. Become dead to our desires, our passions, our wants. What about me? Poor me. Come on. And take our place. And when somebody says, would you pray for me? We take that as fighting words. Amen. Not, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you forget about it. Listen, because we're all prone to do that. Yeah, I'll pray for you, and then you just go about your business. Somebody said, would you pray for me? You say, sure. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim boldly that You're on her case. I thank You, God, that You're strengthening her. You're encouraging her, and that which concerns her concerns You, God. And surely You'll be on this case. In Jesus' name, I thank You, God, for moving right now. In Jesus' name. Are you with me? Come on. Become bold about it. People's lives are at stake. Forget about your reputation because you don't have one. Right? The only reputation that you should be concerned with is His. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're going to take communion in a few minutes, but it's like communion should not be, well, yes, the third, you know, it's the third week of the month or whatever it is, so we're going to take communion. Isn't that a nice religious dealy? Right? No, 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 no. This is representing the body and the blood of Jesus. The body is what gave Him legal authority. Watch this. But the blood is what gave Him spiritual acceptance. That was worth the price of admission right there. Look, right. Come on. He was born because He needed to be born to legally take my place, but His blood was pure because it was of God. And so therefore, He who knew no sin could become sin, that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when we take communion, it's like, Lord, thank You for coming to the earth and suffering in Your body and taking back what the enemy stolen. And by Your stripes, I'm not only healed, but I'm made whole. And Lord, with the blood, as I take the cup, I'm saying that I've been made right with God and I'm standing in the place of righteousness with my armor on to wreak havoc in the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have some people just hand out the elements, that would be awesome. Come on, thank you, Levi. There you go. Awesome.